What is happening out there in TV land on YouTube? My name's Tom. You can find me over at CannabisIndustryLawyer.com here with what happened in cannabis legalization news. Last week, we have a letter to the Attorney General and also the lead administrator of the DEA. It is our lead story. We have a lot more of it to cover. So let's get into the trending stories of the week with our co-host, Miggy.
Birdman. Hey.
What's up? Happy Sunday, everybody. You could be anywhere, but you'd like to catch up on the cannabis legalization news. Where's Schedule 3? We'll tell you where. Yeah. Might even get you that link. Maybe you stick around at 420 somewhere. I'll send you a link for how you could get updates from the DEA when they will publish it. I have them. Didn't get an email all last week. I was really looking for the email the week before that. Didn't get the email then. So this newsletter, it's not a newsletter, but this letter from members of Congress, lots of them. I think it was like 21 members of Congress signed that letter.
21 U.S. lawmakers.
Federal cannabis update. Yes, many, many. Even the retiring Earl Blumenauer, I'm sure he thought he would have gotten this thing legalized a lot quicker if you would have asked him this 20 years ago when he was still lobbying in favor of the industry.
Well, I mean, we've come a long way, baby, but we still got a lot to go. You know, it's been a cycle, right? Like, you just got back from that event yesterday or 2 days ago, and you interviewed a guy locked up for 8 years, you know?
8 years. Check that out. Yeah. Trevor from Minneapolis has a great brand because Minneapolis, Minnesota codified the hemp loophole. And so it's not a loophole if you codify it, because then it's a law. And so they have THC, low-dose hemp-based THC beverages and edibles that you're allowed to get a license for, make, manufacture, and sell. And so his is like Freedom brand, and part of the funds, the profits that he gets from that goes to like Freedom Grow and other inmates that he wants out. He's working to help get them out. And so they let him go, Joe. That's what we got to do. We got to get it to Schedule 3 and then let him go.
I think, you know, if descheduling, rescheduling were to happen, that would definitely give power to people who are locked up for any type of like commerce type thing. Right now, if it's a lot of other various, but there's plenty of people just locked up for weed, right? Who decided to be just a farmer or just to be in between guy, you know, to pick up pounds and go to the next place. Cause that happens. But what's your take on this? 21 U.S. lawmakers express frustration with DEA's inaction of cannabis scheduling, like rescheduling, like, it's in their court now. Come on, DEA.
Yeah. Well, no. It's in the DOJ's courtyard. We can go to the letter. Let's check out the letter.
All right.
And so this was it. It was published on April 24th or mailed on April 24th. And they sent it to her boss. And so the boss is Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States. And then the administrative chief, the administrator, that's Ann Milgram. She's the head of the DEA. So, like, what's taking so long? It's been 18 months since President Biden directed DOJ to begin this. And then they say moving it to Schedule 3 would be meaningful improvement. The only way to remedy the most concerning consequences of marijuana prohibition is descheduling marijuana altogether. Correct. But the 21 lawmakers who signed this letter need a bill in Congress to deschedule will take congressional action.
I know you say it's the DOJ's responsibility, but could you just narrow it down to just the DEA, right? Because they're the ones that are going to be the, you know, hominy dumity final ones, right? I mean, not Merrick Garland, but whoever's in charge of DEA.
Merrick Garland's in the charge of the DEA. The DEA is in the Justice Department. And so, like, hierarchical things. So if the DEA says no, he can go, you're fucking fired. And then they can put in somebody else. Now, they do mention on the second page of it, they mention, let's bring that back up so you can see, it's been almost 8 months, 8 months. Although some DEA agencies have indicated the agency's review of HHS scheduling recommendations takes usually 6 months, almost 8 months have passed since DEA received HHS's rescheduling recommendation for marijuana. I'm wondering if that's because of mechanics. They're trying to think about how to get the rules out there for licensing all these operators throughout the United States.
Mm. One of the things that I saw in one of the, you know, the many cannabis oriented publications out there on the internet, right? Like weed.com.biz, whatever, you know, I found one interesting article I saw where they talked about how there's going to be a period where you have to take in comments, right?
Mandatory.
So that's going to be like your aren't they going to start doing that soon? Is there any word on that?
They have to publish the interim final rule first. And so stick around for once it's 420 somewhere. I will pull out the website at federalregister.gov for the DEA, where you can sign up and get their email alerts when the rule will be published. You'll be one of the first person to know. Give a Safe Banking Act. Again, Congress needs to do its job. The rescheduling, the administration can do that and has and taken steps to do it. But if Congress is writing these letters to the DEA administrator, really wants change and action, Congress is the one who has to do the change in action.
Rescheduling too, though, would also wouldn't that make null and void Safe Banking? Like, there's no need now because now you've been put into one of the scheduling categories, and so the system, the banking, financial,
it's still all illegal. And so, like, that's right. One of the reasons why. So, like, if you're moving just in schedules and you're going through the ordinary channels of the pharmacies, and so if you're going through ordinary medical channels, so you have like an FDA-approved drug, and that FDA-approved drug is then going to one of the DEA-registered pharmacies that has controlled substances in it. So like if you're just like moving it through the schedules and it's just a normal drug, sure, but cannabis is a plant. And so there's no FDA-approved cannabis. So maybe they're trying to... Or like methods to get you registered as a card holder at the federal, at the state level, so that you can be compliant at the federal level. Maybe they're trying to fix that because that one's tough. That is a tricky one. It would take like some lawyers and regulators time to figure out how they would mechanically do that. And I think that mechanics in the Schedule 3 rule will be the foundational underlying the descheduling. So then once they have that, and then the FDA has to get involved too, because we have all these cannabinoids that are typically unregulated right now.
But do you think, because all these entities, but the plant itself is so complicated, like the kind of like the question of like, how do you allow this plant to be considered medicine for what ailments, right? Like, isn't it weird that Botox used to tighten faces and make people pretty is also used for like headaches and actually legitimate like things that actually affect people, whereas cannabis, like, you know, there's a whole range gamut of besides strains, terpenes, all this stuff. Some it helps reduce fight cancer, it's proven. Some it helps reduce inflammation, you know, estrogen. It's gonna be a hard thing to make this plant an organic thing, like say, hey, you know, there's gotta be a blanket way to, you know, provide prescriptions, subscription, you know, to access to the plant.
Yeah, well, again, I just hope that that's what they're working out, and that's why it's taking a little bit longer, because when the Farm Bill was passed until that interim final rule came out, it was about 11 months. And I think some of that was because they had to figure out mechanics for how they were going to do the systems and how all the states would then register with the USDA and the set of rules that they'd all have to comply with. So we're going to get a rule, and a rule is very similar to a statute mechanically. It's going to tell you like the procedures for doing these transactions in the Schedule 3 substance, which of course is not FDA approved. So it's different than if it was just like any other rescheduling order they got from HHS. So that I think is why it's taking a little bit longer, but I really hope that it comes shortly, and then stick around for a few more minutes. I'll pull out the DEA's website over at DEA, you know, federalregister.gov, where you can go and get the updates when it happens. But let's check out everybody who signed on to this letter. Look at the murderer's row of Democrats here. We got Liz Warren, Earl Blumenauer, John Fetterman, Barbara Lee, Charles Schumer, Bob Garcia, Kristen Gillibrand, Eleanor Holmes Norton, Ron Wyden, Jan Szkowski, Alex Padilla, Donna Titus, Peter Welch, Katie Porter, Jeff Merkley, Val Hoyle, Becca Ballant, John Hickenlooper, Cory Booker, James McGovern, and Bernie Sanders. Where is Representative Mace's name?
Well,
Mace not care? Because I thought she put out the States Act. And is this just all Democrats, or is this a bipartisan amount?
That's what I was looking at, but it is senators and House. So you got a combination of both.
Members of the Congress, but I just see D's after everybody's name in the news report.
I mean, not a surprise, but again, maybe, you know, the fact that there's noise being made is what do you say, hopeful to look forward to.
Here's a good one. Let's check this out. I'm going to share my screen here. And then you can see it's just lots of D's right there. You got Schumer, Gillibrand, Merkley, Padilla, Van Hollen, Peter Welch. Come on, ours.
But
you tell me that you guys don't want legal weed? Is that what you're telling me? Not even telling me you don't want legal weed. You don't want legal medical weed. Mm. I'm not even saying, they're saying like drop it entirely, completely deschedule.
Yeah.
And meet us in the middle. Let's say that it's medical. Come on.
Yeah. But I mean, to the medical side of things, you know, as you're talking about how the right now regulation needs to be about the infrastructure and what needs to be laid out. But again, aspirin, right? Does it have to be a specific thing that says like cannabis here is here to like, you know, X, Y, and Z? Or can it just be like, okay, it's like aspirin now where you can have this. You don't need a prescription. You just need a license to be the aspirin supply store or whatever fundamentals that takes that, you know, they have to do.
Well, that's what I'm hopeful for, that it becomes OTC. And it's a Schedule 3 OTC, which is just not FDA approved because it's been in circulation for so long. However, maybe that the IHDs will stay in Schedule 2. That would be hilarious if IHDs go to Schedule 2 and like natural rosins and resins that you press out of the plant and squeeze it, or like, you know, bubble hash, ice water extraction hash. Those would be considered Schedule 3 because those have existed in our supply chain for thousands of years. Just like, I mean, aspirin is more of a drug because like aspirin, they start from like a bark of a tree, I think, and then they process it.
But fundamentally, then you take
they take leaves and they process.
So it has to be processed. The thing has to be processed to be considered a scheduled viable medicine.
Well, I mean, like, that's the thing, like weed's included, but it would be the opium poppy isn't Schedule 1, heroin's Schedule 1, right? Yeah. Or like here we have the plant is in Schedule 2, cocaine Schedule 2, but with the case of marijuana under federal law or cannabis, we like to call it, that is considered a Schedule 1 plant.
We'll be right back.
Roe is dead.
Supreme Court has delivered another blow to the Voting Rights Act.
Despite growing dangers from climate change, tonight the U.S. Supreme Court curbing the government's power to fight it.
The makeup of the Supreme Court, the decisions they have already handed down, and the cases they are hearing this year are not coincidental. So what is next? What can we expect from this chaos court and the networks at work to serve them up cases that will expedite their agenda? We'll seek to answer those questions, examining issues at the heart of the cases the court is currently deciding. Follow Grave Injustice wherever you get your podcasts. We're releasing episodes every Thursday throughout the season.
Okay. Interesting. That's great. And you know, but though rescheduling or descheduling it, however, or but at least rescheduling, the one option we have that we have right now, because as long as this administration is in charge, right? Because this can change at any time. As long as there's...
Well, it could change around January 20th. January 20th is when Donald Trump may be sworn in or Joe Biden sworn in for a second term.
And again, you're pro. That's like your political... You're very involved in this, right? Democrat type thing. I've always been an independent where it's like, I'm just waiting for the motherfucker to help me, you know, get by the way I want to get by, right? Which is... But if we could reschedule it, right? Like the New Mexico story we're about to cover. And, you know, this would eliminate some of those seizures that's been going on, right? Interstate commerce.
Well, are you talking about the New Mexico story?
Yes.
Let's get into the New Mexico story. This has been interesting. New Mexico, seizures of cannabis products in New Mexico. And the administration is being annoying to the administration in New Mexico. So the federal government is kind of being a little bee to the New Mexico government. They have some interesting quotes in this political story, and that's the picture of the governor, New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham. And she feels boxed in by the federal government's crackdown on New Mexico's state legal industry. And it was kind of like a trivialized thing where, let's get to the quote. Do you remember it off the top of your head? It's like people are just making money. Is basically
what they said. Let's cover it. We got that time.
Oh, is it 20 past the hour already?
It is. All right. Well, it's 4:20 somewhere.
Or 15, we were late. Big one for the team.
Oh, my stuff should not be shared. And I
said, hey, look at that.
Get that done. Yeah. And so why don't you talk about this story? Because I'm trying to get something that I told the viewers that I would share with them.
Yeah. Well, you know, on top of that, though, I wanted to thank Collateral Base for the forwarding of this, you know, helping. So are you still doing a social equity? How many more people? There was a comment earlier
It's closed. It's over. It's too late, guys. Like, we will help represent social equity applicants on a contingency fee basis in the future. Missouri is dead for this year. Missouri 2025, it closes tomorrow. And so because Missouri 2025 closes tomorrow, I have a policy of not submitting applications on the day that it closes.
Sure.
Because my clients get in. They don't have some bullshit that happens where the server melts down and they can't get in. And no, we're done before it's done because we're very meticulous and careful with our clients. And we don't there's too many risks in the cannabis industry just from the get. We don't start with any additional ones.
You were reaching out to vets really, and all vets would understand, like, it's all about getting your ducks in a row, getting all the paperwork. You know, that's kind of like how we were able to get our license, you know, in Illinois because
we didn't have my paperwork. Last day. We applied before the last day, didn't we? And then won.
It was like a fluke, right? Like, we didn't even – I never had any inspirations of actually being in the business here. Now we're about to, and I think it's cool that you are somebody that has firsthand experience, which kind of, you know, it's like
we get to reuse it. And so, like, we get Illinois dispensary open, and then we have our social equity applicants that we help, you know, in contingency fee basis, and then we get them open. Because one of the hardest things about the social equity applicant limited license market of adult use cannabis, which is not hemp, has to do with becoming operational. Illinois is a very cautionary tale, as like 80% of the people that have won these licenses are not operational because of either insular discreet fraud on the business's parts, very poor business planning on business owners that see this as their golden ticket. And then, larger, well-orchestrated, what I would classify as frauds, because like if somebody else gets the license and you can't touch it and you sell that license and pocket 95 cents on the dollar, and then you pay off the person who got the license 5 cents. No. Like that's no, but then that happens. It's extremely not fair, but it happens.
For sure. There's definitely vultures and people who are trying to, and that's the problem with like the way this legalization has rolled out, right? Like, this is not legalization. I thought I wanted to sell weed when I got older, like in a legal world, but turns out that means you're a bud tender. You know, it's not I used to go travel with pounds and show up at another guy's door and be like, hey, here's a brace. Here's your personal, whatevers. It's no, you want to have a brick and mortar. You're either going to be the guy that grows and then they sell their pounds to a store. And then that person holds on to the space. The whole process of like actual business is so unsexy, but also people
do it. It can be corrupt as well. Yeah. It's not just unsexy. Mm-hmm. It can be cutthroat. It can be bullshit. Like, you know, there's bullshit that gets thrown out all over the time. Litigious. Yeah. Burner's probably in 25 lawsuits right now, 26 come Monday. Yeah. And then we're going to talk about another company that's been in a lot of lawsuits. They're in a new legal proceeding that you can't do here in America for cannabis license holders. It would have been amazing if they would have tried to divest from all their licenses, said they were doing hemp, and then filed for bankruptcy in the United States bankruptcy. But that's not what happened to MedMen. Tune in later for what happened to MedMen. Here's what happened in New Mexico, though. What was that snarky crap that they were saying about? There it is. So this is the quote from New Mexico governor, her frustration with Mayorkas' response. The secretary just said to me, so, you know, who cares? They make a lot of money. I thought that was really inappropriate. And so the CBB, that is the Customs Border Patrol, has the legal authority to confiscate any cannabis with more than 0.3% THC. That includes THCA, for those of you keeping track at home, because it remains federally illegal under the Controlled Substances Act. However, the last three decades, 38 states, four districts, yada, yada. But that's what it is. And so CPB is not part of the Justice Department. It's part of the Department of Homeland Security. So they are not banned from spending your federal tax dollars to shut down licensed cannabis operations. Well, in the
state. And they're not shutting down. They're confiscating. They're stopping. They're not actively doing raids. People are going through these checkpoints, like coming from somebody. I used to live in Southern California. You know, you have these checkpoints that are supposedly going to catch all your like illegal grocery, you know, like fruits and whatever else, or, you know, illegals per se. So like that's what's happening is they're stopping, you know, people within their own state. And my question is, why is it that they're taking it upon themselves to enforce this part of the law? Like, why is it like this? One part of, you know, they don't have to as a border patrol.
Because it's illegal.
But the border, they're bordering within the same state. They're not even bordering from, like, you know, the actual Mexican line.
They just don't like weed, it sounds like. Yeah. What do you care? They're making a lot of money, according to what the chair or the director of the HHS said. But if you, at home, want to get notice of when the DEA, which of course was our first story, our main story, the 21 Democrat Congress people that sent a letter to the Justice Department, that is both Ann Milgram, who's in charge of the DEA, and her boss, who's in charge of the complete Justice Department, Attorney General Merrick Garland. Here is where you can find their Federal Register updates. And so we're going to share this with you. It's federalregister.gov/agencies/Drug Enforcement Administration. And if you click this little subscribe button right there, you want filed on public inspection, not published, but filed on public inspection, because then it's like when it's coming up to be published. Mm-hmm. And so go ahead.
That's a comment.
Share this in the live chat. What's that? No. So when the Schedule 3 rule is published, you'll get an email about it.
Right. Oh, like the final rule, not the commentary.
The first one, not just the final rule. And so, like, you know, the one that you're going to have for public comment and whatnot, the interim rule.
Yes,
that's what you'll get. And so, I did not get an email last week. Hopeful we'll get an email this week, and then hopeful that Miggy and I will get our license this week. That'd be pretty awesome. We got all our paperwork done. Was that over a week ago now? Might have been at least. April 18th. Yeah.
I mean, it feels like we're on the other end of it right now still, even though we're still like kind of like in the beginning of everything, right? Like, you know, Tom and I were talking about, like, when we talk about the social equity incubator he does and all the things as far as, like, if you want to get involved in the cannabis industry. And again, I didn't, because there's so many states that are require you to pay out before you can even establish, like, what store or what grow or what are you going to be, right? Like Texas, how is it that they make them have real estate, and how many people have been paying out and holding out? You know, unless you live there, right? Unless you live there, and this is like,
your burn rate in Texas is, and burn rate in Florida. And then that's before it's a merit based application. The industry doesn't really do merit based applications anymore with these types of carry costs, unless the administration in power hates weed and doesn't want their program to work and is only open for the uber wealthy. You know, Florida and Texas are perfect examples of the failures of the merit-based application process that requires real estate.
Arizona, another one.
Arizona's a lottery.
But with a deep pocket lottery.
Yeah, the social equities were all deep pocketed.
I mean, they were asking for how much, like $30,000 or something just to play? Or you had to have $1 million in your...
I'm not familiar. I didn't apply in the Arizona social equity lottery. It was like, I think it was 21 that they did that. And so, like, I just was too early into the industry. So let's do a story out of Michigan. Miggy, what's happening in Michigan?
CRA announces Claire Peterson as director of Michigan's new cannabis reference laboratory. So that's cool. So they're hiring now. They're part of the standardization, you know, of testing the product. So that's great. You know, California is still the only state that has uniform testing requirements throughout the all labs, right? I mean, she's going to be making sure everybody's following their SOPs, right? And this is the this is that sexy side of the business. Like, this is what
this is what really needs. I mean, like, these types of testing, purity, standardizations, what is THC, what's not THC, what do you have to test for if that cannabis, whatever cannabinoid it is designed for human consumption. Those are the types of things that, like, maybe that's why the Schedule 3 rule is taking so long. Maybe, I mean, they moved cannabis, marijuana, which is this, marijuana is this big term. Like, it comprises vapes, it comprises hash, it comprises the flower itself. Like, all the products are marijuana or hemp. That's it. And there's a bazillion products.
Well, as the plant-based, you know, back to the rescheduling or descheduling, as a plant-based thing, there are a lot of components to think about when it comes to, like, microbials. You know, as here in Washington State, when it was medical, that was a big issue. Like, a lot of patients understood that this plant was had a lot of things, metals, right? Who thinks about fucking metals in a plant when you're about to consume? You know, I never thought about that. But there's so many things that, like, that's why you have a food department, right? Or people who go to college for this kind of thing.
Yeah, but this is a great, this should be at a nationwide level. And that's what I really hope Schedule 3 helps, because hemp is just by the USDA. And the USDA is not the FDA. The FDA is more in the scheduling of the drugs. And so that's one of the reasons why I think it's taking longer, because they're making a bigger rule. But we'll find out. Here's what this new state cannabis reference lab is going to be able to do. It's going to provide result support to enforcement investigations, so recalls for a failed test.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Provide results to support mandated industry-wide audit procedure on an ongoing basis. So for audits, to ensure compliance, optimize current standard methods and validate new methods. Well, there you go. QAQC, I guess I'll call that one.
Yeah.
Providing ongoing review of audit programs administered by third-party ISO-accredited bodies. There we go. The standardizations.
Oh,
and comprehensive laboratory proficiency testing programs to ensure licensed laboratory accuracy, precision, and consistency.
We're getting there. We're getting there. We're to where the cannabis you buy in Michigan is going to be the same as the cannabis you buy in Colorado. So, you know, we should show what we've been talking about this whole time.
We should. I'm trying to find the name of that strain on the... oh, there it is. Let's hit it. Let's go to name that strain.
THC. This is a funny one, the name at least.
Yes, but it's not cured. It's still, you know, pretty fresh. The hairs don't look mature either, but it's already quite purple. Definitely has some purple in it.
Do you think it's been chopped, or do you think it's
I wouldn't say it's been chopped. The leaves don't even have any discoloration like you see at the end of the season. And then, like, look at the pistils. They still look white. They don't look red.
So,
like, it just does, and it doesn't look that frosty. Not that purples get that frosty.
I don't know if people are going to get this. Is a crazy ass name.
Yep, it's something else. It's notoriety by developing leaves which match ducks' footprints. That is a good quote. It is a mix of a dew and a duck foot, and it's an indica sativa hybrid, big yielder, especially in outdoor greenhouses and outdoor operations. And it's hard to distinguish that cultivar as cannabis, with phenos of this one becoming dark purple, which adds to the disguise and the different morphology of the leaves. And so I still think it looks like weed, you know, even if there's three points on the leaf as opposed to five, like, durations.
100%. I think this would be fun though. Like, you know, like, now we were talking about, like, lab studies, this is on somebody's gun report. You're going to have this weird ass name that you're going to have to say, blah, 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 tested that. Like, an official, like, grown up is actually going to have to say this word over a word, just like AK-47 or any other weird stuff.
Yes, this cultivar is one of the odder ones.
So
this is probably Freak Show.
Yeah, so I think the first part of it, we're getting a lot of ducks, but no in a row,
right?
That's that joke.
And, like, you know, the one of its parents has its first name in it, so that the dew and the duck's foot. So I'm omitting, like, the word before dew.
Just duck foot. No, but it does have a duck in it.
It does. Definitely does.
I want you to give a duck.
There we go. Greenhouse cultivar. I mean, I really think that the dark purple is got such bag appeal. The name, I don't know about that. And then like the all the change in the
morphology. Oh, we got it.
There we go. Jim Deeds gets it.
I have no clue how you do that.
Pronounce that.
Frisian?
Frisian?
Frisian.
Frisian? Frisian?
Frisian duck. Say it 10 times. See what happens.
Frisian. Maybe.
Well, that's prettier than that.
50-50. Duck foot and Frisian dew. THC is medium. And interesting pictures on that. You know, like it does. It, they see like that duck foot. It doesn't really look like a traditional leaf.
Oh, yeah. The leaf, yeah. You know?
And yeah, that's it gets really thing. Purple, and so it just like the whole presentation of the plant is a little disorienting. Like you'd be like, "I think it is." No way. Well, it kind of smells like it.
Like you come across it like in the woods, like as a kid, you're walking through a park, you're like, "Is that weed?" No,
it really doesn't look like it. I mean, this is pre-flower or like very early into flower, but that duck foot with the leaf and the morphology on the leaf just creates a, it's you know it's in disguise almost. And then that the really, I mean, once you see the buds, I mean, they're really purple. There's that, but they look like buds.
Yeah, no, Frisian's a breed of a horse, I guess. Interesting. Yeah, no idea. You know, it's all about people's passions.
Yeah, all about people's passions. And to a certain extent, it's about surreptitiousness. And so back in the day, you, and then even today, like I wouldn't want my weed just growing in my backyard. Some kid could come up and steal it.
Yeah.
And so like, now if you, if it looked like that or like Freak Show, or it's just a little bit more inconspicuous.
So we got Pennsylvania lawmakers consider government-run weed dispensaries, and the cannabis industry is not happy, which is kind of a conundrum. If you think about the, if you're going to have government-run weed stores, isn't that your industry? You know,
that's
it's a weird layer. I understand what's going on because here in Washington State, we had liquor-run liquor stores. And that's just all about the licensing. And again, it's all just who you, because somebody's going to get paid. There's always, what's the whole point of all, you know, the business, right? You're going to have employees, managers. You know, you just won't be an owner. But, you know, and I think some of the taxes goes back to the state. So are you looking at the story?
No, I can't find it in the outline. And so, like, I'm, like, clicking through the outline. I'm like, where's the Pennsylvania story? I got
the
Michigan story. I got the 420. I got the Florida story.
Where's this one's coming story? From the Pennsylvania Capital Star. A piece of dry flour or broccoli or beet. I'm trying to get to the point where it talks about the Pennsylvania. So the Pennsylvania House Health Subcommittee hearing Thursday, both Canadian and American public health experts praise Quebec's regulations. So they're trying to compare themselves and say, hey, you know, we can get to that type of model. So, but Pennsylvania's a tough nugget. Didn't they have some stuff coming up in the like legislation wise for legalization? Do you know?
Do they have? Oh, no. But like that's what it is. You got to make that, and you can make it an H1 like that, or and so like the H's go on the outline, and so like yeah, it was in normal. And so like I just brought it out. Cool.
Oh, you found it? So
let's go to the Hawaii Gov.
All right,
Hawaii News. We have some Hawaii news where, let's see here. And then so in Hawaii, they're proposing a new open landscape to the medical cannabis when their adult use legalization bill failed. And then so instead, they are going to try a opening of the program for medical to allow what?
To allow
32,000 patients, only 2.2% of the state's population of Hawaii.
Oh, so they're trying to increase the patient market?
Well, you know, patients going up means sales go up. If there's only 32,000 patients, that's nothing. There's like 500,000 patients in Oklahoma.
You know, the unfortunate thing about, because I mean, cannabis is marijuana, is medicine, right? I mean, and they're talking about increasing a patient. It almost also, belittles the importance of cannabis as medicine, because when you're just making a prescription, your barrier to like not getting arrested, right? Like that was one of the things when I got here, Washington State, first thing I got was a prescription. And that was the coolest like backstage pass to like all these markets and all these like stores. And you're just like, really? We're just doing this. We're like, I mean, it does help. It helped my back and everything else. But it's like, can we just allow, you know, Jimmy John to grow and be in business? I don't know.
Well, they're kind of thin on the details on this.
Yeah.
You see, Honolulu-based Spotlight Now, a show of a possible solution. It was the governor, Josh Green, providing a TV interview with Hawaii News Now program. And we have some quotes from him. He's trying to make marijuana very available for those who choose it in their lives and still keep kids safe. And the governor hopes his compromises can be done without legislative action. So he's going to be using his executive authority in the administration to change the health department rules. Oh, federal emulating state law now to change how many patients could get access to the cannabis plant in Hawaii. Hawaii's regulated medical marijuana program requires registered patients to have one of several qualifying medical conditions. But if they open that up or remove the conditions like they have in Oklahoma, in theory, maybe instead of 2% of the population, you'd have 10% of the population. And that would be like basically 150,000 people.
I mean, that definitely would expand the market, you know, and I mean, I wonder if they're going to do like a 21 and over, like you can only be 21 and over sick. Good luck, boy, again.
Oh, boy is right. I don't know about this next story, even though it is out of Markets Insider. It just sounds low to me. Landing in Florida's cannabis market, legal cannabis adult use could maybe do $874 million in 2025. I just find that too low, unless maybe they're only doing like half the year of sales if it becomes like effective like on July 1st or something. Simply because there's more dispensaries in Florida than there are in Illinois. And there's like twice the people. And Illinois still did close to $1 billion in sales in its first year. So if you flip the switch in Florida and all those dispensaries are hybrids, I think they would be doing at least $1.6 billion or more.
Do you think
that might just be because, like, you know, if that passes, it might not become effective in like 6 months. So that just might be like half a year of sales estimates or something.
But how much more do you think that market would increase when recreational kicks in, right? Because it's kind of like we just transition, right? Where Hawaii is trying to increase their patient threshold to like have a bigger market in business, whereas Florida, who has this huge, pretty much monopolized, right? Only two or three big, you know, people behind it. But you're telling me that there's all these pot shops around, which, I mean, I couldn't imagine owning the only convenience stores in the state. But, you know, recreational, how much more do you think that would increase?
Oh, I think it would go quite a bit. I mean, we're talking about 878,000 patients that are registered in Florida right now. Mm-hmm. That is a lot, but it's not the 24 million. And then it's not the bazillion millions of tourists that visit Florida every single year. So there's so many tourists that go to Florida that its population, which is already large, is deceptively larger. And then the number of dispensaries there is already quite high. It's over like 1200 or something like that, I believe, because there's a bazillion million Trulieve stores. Maybe it's not 1200, but I'd have to look up more of Florida's markets. It's big. And I could see sales, you know, in the multi-billions, maybe all the way up to $4.5 billion in 2028. I don't know, though. It might not pass. It may not become the law. It's not polling enough.
Yeah. Which, why? Why isn't it polling enough? Like, you know, people like want to be like about the, you know, give you the finger to the man. Or what do you think is the pushback here on the Floridians not wanting legal cannabis? Because they already have their miniature rec market. I mean, what's the, you already have your one monopoly. Why not just let them keep on going?
It may have to do with how conservative Florida is. Now, there's 622 open dispensaries in Florida. And so like on a per capita basis, it's probably better than in Illinois because we only have about 200. In Illinois, 232 is how many are operational now.
Damn.
Yeah. So there's like three times the number of dispensaries in Florida. Which still, 632 is nothing. Because like New Mexico is 650 and only 2 million people. Oklahoma is 2,400 and like 3.5, maybe 4 million. It's not that large.
You think old people would want to smoke weed? Like, they all got their pills and cocaine. You know, like, here's weed. It'll help you out. Maybe live a little longer.
Yep.
It will.
Yep. Well, you know, it is a limited market in many states, more so in Illinois. And in New Jersey, let's kind of do one of those transitions. Yeah. New Jersey is less restricted than Illinois. New Jersey has 296 dispensaries open. Illinois has only 232. And New Jersey has like 4 million people less in it, and it's very dense. And so, like, there's almost a dispenser in every street corner then. I mean, it's like 9 million people in a dot on the map when you look at it out on the
East Coast. Is there a lot in New Jersey?
It's like 9 million. Well, when you go to state from state to state, you look at the market and you're like, and then you go to the application, and a New Jersey application is what we call a complete application. You just write it out and you take the regulations and you go, thank you.
Yeah.
And you stick to the page limits and you write the regulations into the page limits. And then you go, here you go. And they go, did you have to write this in crayon? I cited the rules.
Do they have, are they open or is another like closed state?
You can apply. You can apply right now. The hardest part in New Jersey is real estate, and it's expensive. Okay. And so like two-thirds of the state, like how come two-thirds of New Jersey is illegal? And so that makes the numbers of dispensaries in New Jersey even more suspect to believe.
Yeah,
because you're talking about like 9 million people, but and then a dot, and then like a third of that dot, because that's the third of the counties and communities that have not opted out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
But, you know, Illinois is going to be good once we get that open. Canada, yeah, they aren't on this list.
Well, it's the story about the cannabis users stay motivated dot lazy stoner myth debunked. So I guess this is a studies coming from Canada itself, a recreational state or country. Right. Yeah. What's up?
No,
you hear the noise behind me? I just make sure. We've been doing tiling at my house. So that's what I'm going to do right after this. Yeah, we got these. My house is like from 1950s, and we're taking off the old stick and tiles from 19. They're so thick and old, it's gross.
Doing some updates, are you?
Trying to get a little nicer. But three facts, no impact on motivation. I mean, here we are every fucking Sunday, you know, and smoking it and surviving. You know, no one's, died on our watch, I don't think. But number two, emotional self-regulation effects. I mean, this is kind of funny because I know some people have, like, people blame weed for their life issues. But, like, the other part people, is, like,
weird people blame other people for their life issues.
Man, like, next level.
Some people take responsibility for their life's issues and move on. Mm-hmm. Some people blame others and go, look what you did.
And others blame inanimate objects. Like, weed.
Your fault.
Yeah. But, you know, with that being said, though, as we talk about it, it is a wellness thing. It's not just a physical wellness thing, but also a mental health thing for some people, right? It's not for everybody. You know, we don't say this damn plant will give you magical powers. It just helps some people have a better day. And if your day is better, isn't that wellness? Isn't that like improvement to like having a shitty day?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, people also enjoy coffee. I would say that it is somewhere between coffee and alcohol is cannabis.
Yeah. And then the last one is no weed hangover, which is definitely a bonus when it comes to like, the motivation of like the next day, you're not going to be like, you know, you drink too much, you're dragging ass the next day sometimes.
Oh, you will. For you younger viewers watching at home, you cannot drink like you do now in your future. And so like, if you're in your 20s, good luck. You can have a good time out the next day and then be at the gym by 7 a.m. You get older in your 40s, that's actually, I read stories or I've heard interviews. I think that's why John Mayer quit drinking, because he just had a bad hangover once after going to like one of Drake's birthday parties. And he's like, I got a show. I just can't do this. I just fucking can't. Yeah, it makes sense. Like, if you had to perform like that in front of that many fucking people and you had a terrible hangover, you would hate yourself.
Well, how'd you feel last week? Yeah, hangover last week. We had at least 300.
Yes. I had a hangover last week. But I just had to like read the cannabis news and be like, I don't know about that. Don't have a glass this week.
Right. We got some Cali news.
Cali news. The Cali news is a little sad, right?
Yeah, yeah. After a state audit, Santa Barbara County will tweak cannabis licensing. So are they reducing? Is that what's going on? On the heels of a report from the state auditors, the county office announced some minor steps this month to strengthen impartiality and public safety in the cannabis permitting and licensing. The state released its report on the 28th. Auditors urge all six counties consistently follow their own policies and grant cannabis permits. So, I mean, are they going to try and increase things? I can't really understand, like, how the importance of, like, I mean, this is the problem with, like, having a business, like, with the cannabis industry. Like, if I was in Santa Barbara County right now, my butt would be like, shit, now I got a new thing I got to, like, be in accordance with. You know, you got to always have vigilance. Yeah,
but Santa Barbara County by itself has 2,050 cannabis licenses in it.
Holy shit. That's more than goddamn.
That's like 10 Illinois for dispensaries. Yeah. Right. But no, not all of those licenses are dispensary licenses. No, it says active.
Okay.
2,050 active licenses. But, you know, how many of them are retail? More than half of California businesses do not allow. And so, like, even California is still about 50% illegal because it's political. So we could sit there and say, like, hey, you're watching and you're voting for Donald Trump. First off, don't. But then second, you believe in the plant and freedom. And so that's cool. Call your legislature and be like, hey, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, change these laws. Like, I vote. I've been voting for you. Freedom. Business, it's not as bad as alcohol, but it's politicized. I don't know why. I'm calling on Republicans everywhere to depoliticize weed. Stop it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, dude. I think a lot of it's just I'll go for it.
That's what I'm just saying.
I know, but like, I think as you know, and it's every year. It's not just this year, and it's not just these two morons. It's like every election year. It's always like, vote the lesser of two evils, because they both suck always, you know, most of the time. But when it comes to like how, like, a better world, like if you're making a certain amount of wage and there's certain things that can affect you, like right now the Democratic Party is the best one to go with, right? Like if the Biden policy stuff keeps going, because it can stop automatically anytime, right? As soon as they take over, he puts somebody else in charge of this topic, and they're like, I don't like weed, because, you know, there has been no Republican policy actually ever really that has come out. Like, even when they said they're going to do better health care, none of this shit's ever come through. Then we have a chance now where these, you know, there's been instruction to the DOJ and the FDA and all these other HSA. Potential real grownups are looking at the situation and go, this is how we're going to do it. Because no one's going to die once we fucking make it. Now, you know, if you want to be in business.
But then, like, there's even, like, California is a perfect example of, like, the local gobbledygook ruining an in-state market, which, of course, then just goes on to the interstate market. So, like, I really am looking forward to some type of, can you imagine each one of those 2,000 Santa Barbara County licenses had a federal license so they can engage in interstate commerce? And not only that, they were not subject to IRC 280E.
Interstate commerce, you know, there's going to be so many winners right now just coming out of California, because I think a lot of people in the Midwest are going to want California weed
They already do. They're already buying it. It's just that they aren't buying it legally.
At a store. Yeah.
So, like, they're just letting that tax dollar go right out the door. That's too bad. I bet weed becomes like your alcohol and cigarettes aren't made in your state. Some are. Don't get me wrong. I just got back from Minnesota. Lovely place. Nice people. Yeah. Not the biggest fan of its weather, especially. You know how cold, I mean, the next state is very cold as well. This is how you know you live in a very cold place. Every block, the buildings have skywalks. Every block. Oh, like, you just, like, walk across the street, like, you know, and you look down the street, and every building is connected to the other building by skywalk down the blocks. And so there'd be like five skywalks down the block on that street in Minneapolis. And you're like, it has to be fucking frigid here.
Fuck, dude, cold or hot, right? Like, that's horrible. I mean,
it's the cold. It's the 20 below cold. Like, the summer in Minnesota and Minneapolis is probably beautiful. Unfortunately, it's 8 weeks long. Right. North Dakota, similar weather conditions. And that's their cannabis efforts for legalization have ramped up again. Cannabis activists in the state of North Dakota trying to legalize it yet again. They made it onto the ballot in both 2018 and 22, came up short both times. 2018 measure three was shot down 59 to 41. And then in, let's go to 22, measure two, 45% of the vote that time. And so let's see here. Are they going to get another 4%? So it'd be 49% of the vote this next time. The petition needed 15,582 signatures by July 8th to qualify.
Well,
there we go.
I hope they do. You know, yeah. Did they, was it South Dakota then? Was the one that the governor flipped the script, right? North Dakota just came close. Right. South Dakota
has North Dakota's more conservative than South Dakota, which is pretty hard to do. They're both pretty damn conservative. But so is Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's rejected adult use. Florida's conservative. It's kind of rejecting adult use. But in Florida, you have to get 60% of the vote. And that's really difficult. I just think that there's a lot of old Republicans in Florida that don't want to vote for legalization. It's fine if it's medical, but they don't want everybody to do it. And then the smell, it's like, it'll bring the wrong people here. Like that stigma, that prejudice against it. I think that's more prevalent if you go to a Trump rally than if you go to a Biden rally.
No, that's for sure. But like, yeah. I mean, this seems like what the Dakotas are just places like where people haven't gotten internet. Like you just don't know about like other people in the world, like respecting each other, like potential income revenues. And I mean, every place I've been to in America, when I drove cross country, is I would love to smoke where I'm at, and I love it. I'm beautiful, except I'm a villain. You know, I'm the bad guy just because I want to sit.
There he is. That's the bad man right there.
You don't get him.
Aren't you selling weed in Illinois?
Right.
Actually, no, we're not. Maybe one day. Stay tuned. We won't tell you where it is. We will always be complying with YouTube's educational content guidelines. And we should also back this stuff up and do like kind of what Alex Jones does, where he has his own broadcasting where he can say the crazier shit. We could like use YouTube to direct them over there to watch us say crazier shit.
I mean, we can. It'd be another hour show, right? We got cannabis banking measure to be left after the FAA bill.
But what we need, like with this type of stuff, we also need we need correspondence. And so like we would have like five correspondent stories, and then we just have to do five stories and shoot the shit, which is more important almost than the story sometimes. And then we would have correspondence, which makes them feel good, like they're a part of it too.
PCM is doing really good on that, you know. Yeah. And I like how they got people in a lot of different states, you know. I wish they had a bigger following, you know, but the kids seem to be always be the following, right? We're like two grumpy old men talking about.
That's right. The kids get the following because there's a lot more kids that have nothing else to do that are growing up on this shit. And then like the older people, they got work. They got chores. Didn't you mention something about doing some grout when you hang up the feed?
Fucking man.
There you go. Do you
this know is my distraction.
20-year-olds watching at home have grouting projects to do after this show? Fuck no. They're going to smoke a bowl, bro.
Keep me here so I can make an excuse not to go back.
All right. Well, let's talk about the cannabis industry not flexing its muscle when it comes to federal law. This was published out of Market Watch just 2 days ago on April 26th. Dutchie's Brian Barash said he's disappointed that safer banking will not be included in the FFAA, the FAA funding bill. Oh my gosh, paywall. Subscribe right now to get the rest of this story. Let's get that off the main screen. We'll see if we have anything else about it in the show notes. Yes, we do. See here, Barash said that they're disappointed. Expectations of a long-delayed measure to open up the banking system has failed. So the Federal Aviation Administration is going to get funding, but they will not have the rider for the United States Cannabis Council's requested Safe Banking Act, the Secure and Fair Enforcement Regulation Banking Act, or SAFER, to help facilitate services for state legal cannabis companies because they need it. They need it. I mean, like cash only business, or like it's just ask because there's so much cash in it. There's so much all this credit card fraud that's going on. You know, like everybody's like, I got a payment solution. No, you don't. Most of that stuff's illegal. And then, as far as I'm aware, all of it is. Please, if you have a payment solution that uses things legal, email me at tom@collateralbase.com, and I will explain to you from my experience as a bank lawyer why it's not. Now, the other weird shit that's about this one is that it shows that there's no muscle for this industry. None. Yeah.
100%.
Like, we can't even get safe banking passed. That, and so, like, that means that it's got to be more political than we're even laying on. Like, the Republicans in power don't like weed, and then they don't want to give it a vote.
I mean, as much as we give shit to Republicans because they deserve it, because, you know, cucks. But, like, this is Schumer, though, isn't it? This needs to go through the Senate, the one that Schumer's in charge of.
It has to go through both.
Right, but it already has been through one, hasn't it?
But that's why, no, it
is. Or does it have to do that every year?
I think the House flipped over, and so now the Republicans are in charge, so nothing comes up.
Oh, so then it has to, like, a reset then, because
when the Democrats were on charge, and then when it hit Mitch McConnell's Senate, they just kept passing the Moore Act and all the other things, and safe banking got passed, all, and then it would just hit this brick wall of the Senate. Right. So now I don't think it's hitting either one. Because your versions of the bill have been approved 7 times by the House of Representatives, but the legislation has failed to come up for a vote in the Senate.
I mean, because you got to talk about this.
It just keeps passing, but then it doesn't get the vote in the Senate, is what they're saying.
Yeah. And isn't that Senate the one where my Schumer?
Should be. But then I think because of the way they've done, that's too bad. That's not a link. And so the way they've done the Senate, you can prevent votes from coming up unless you have 60 votes. Okay. If you have a 51 majority in the Senate, tough shit. You really needed 60 to get votes brought up.
That's so crazy, man.
Holding up the Senate because he had the ability, because they couldn't get 60 votes to get it brought up.
That's so crazy that you have that much power. Just like the majority wants it, but yet still there's 4 assholes or 5 or 8 that say, you know what? We want to, like, not have progress. We don't want to have nicer things. I mean, that's all you're telling me when you don't. Certain bills, certain, you know, will be beneficial to everybody.
There it is. But he's stepping down. And so, like, it's Barrasch wasn't aware of any groundswell of opposition, but it wasn't clear if Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, a Kentucky Republican, was on board with the latest effort. There you go. Old man stops safer banking from, and then they're attaching it to another bill that's popular because it's like, surely you're going to pass that. Like, it's a rider or something. And it's like, I won't call up this bill unless you drop safe banking.
But this was asking, why does it have to be a rider? Why couldn't it just be submitted by itself?
They're posturing. And so it's like, slip it in here. Like, he's going to vote for funding this. So just slip it in there. Let's see if you can get it. It's already passed in that other house. Let's see if we can get it passed in this one.
That's so dumb.
Well, you know, House, because that means that it's bipartisan support then. Because I think the other House is predominantly Republican after the last election. But I don't follow it. I don't think most people, like, you know, you and you at home, who's got more right now in the House of Representatives? 435 is the denominator. I know that much.
Well, there's real political people who follow that. Like, you know, Crooked Media. I like those guys. And they follow that kind of shit. But, you know, the imbalance still, the way this whole legislature process, you know, they got that Kansas story, and I just don't want to dig into the federal side of things. But
sure. Just, no, just 17 Republicans, 212 Democrats,
overall.
6 vacancies.
Wait, show it again?
There we go. 6 vacancies. And so I guess it's just like these people all resigned, and somebody died.
That doesn't break up the House.
Who resigned? Like, yeah, but like the resignations are most like this Democrat died, and then also Brian Higgins, a Democrat from New York, resigned. But everybody else was a Republican resignation.
Well, there's no sense right now in that whole their party, but that's a whole another show.
I don't know, man.
You know, but and again, doesn't that group it both together though? Is that just the House or the Senate or combination of both?
No, that was just the House. I think the Senate's 50-50 with Kamala being the tie-breaking vote.
Got you. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You are good.
Kansas. Hey, Kansas, since we're talking about Kansas, let's take a small break to say we're talking about you, Kansas. You've made cannabis legalization news. You're pretty special. And now with a truly Kansas story. Republican members of the Senate in Kansas crushed with a boot heel Friday an attempt to breathe life into legislation to create the state regulatory framework for cultivation, distribution, and use of medical cannabis. Not in Kansas.
Yeah. Kansas, they've been having a long fight.
It's a very conservative Republican state. And so it's one of those. It's one of those.
And again, why though? Like, what is your boomer, ancient Republican conservative
argument? This is why I want Schedule 3. Because then I'm going to go on, well, me and several other lawyers that I'll work with will go on a nice little rampage suing states to require, or like, now, how, I mean, you're telling me we have a schedule, I am a federally licensed Schedule 3 purveyor or retailer of cannabis. You're telling me I can't buy that Sonoma weed out there? Bullshit. Well, so there's that lawsuit. And then there's, I am a medical patient from Oklahoma who's now residing in Kansas. You're telling me I can't access my federally recognized medical substance? Bullshit. And so there's a lot of lawsuits to help even the playing field coming. This is why I don't like hemp and THCA hemp, because it just bypasses all of the legalization that we need to do. Mm-hmm. And it's just quick buck. I mean, so I have a video from that I recorded. The members get it right now. If you are watching and you want to be a member and see my new video on it, everybody else will get it on Tuesday. It's pretty funny.
No, it's always educational too. Well, damn it, I lost my track. I was just thinking about legislation and fucking rulemaking and
real sexy shit of legalizing.
Well, it just it's so convoluted. Whereas we got all this money in play, right? Like this MedMen story. You know how they started. Mm-hmm. Everybody remember the beginning? $1.7 billion, and they were valued at the beginning, like just peak. You know, making their little YouTube videos and were part of everybody's. Whatever, you know, just branding. It was almost like that Dan Bilzerian type branding, right? Where he just put his name on everything and, you know, like,
it's terrible. Whatever.
Yeah.
They completely overpaid for real estate. The number one cardinal rule that you don't do is overpay for real estate, because it's one of the heaviest. It's one of the heaviest expenses. Mm-hmm. So if you go over your P&Ls, and you should. And so that's one of the nice things that we have Slobodan on the team over a collateral basis. And so we get to make a model, and then we'll update it on a quarterly basis to determine our share price. And that's the kind of service that I want to provide for our other clients that win on a contingency fee, is management fee services like that, where we help you get the cash flow and the distributions.
Well, we're about to start that. You know, as soon as we get our first store open, you know, that's going to be, you know, I told you about that show, High Whatever on Hulu.
Yeah, it was kind of like it was kind of sad, because like the guy just woke up and like smoked a shitload of weed, and I turned it off because, like, you know, it's not family friendly. And then I got the 4-year-old's like, hey, where's Scooby Doo? And then the 10-year-old's like, Scooby Doo, come on. And then I'm like, all right, well, I'll watch this dispensary store later. But like, it just looked like he woke up and started smoking weed to me immediately, and I'm like,
so he owns this part. Yeah, no, not that guy. So the way the series starts, because that goofball in the beginning, I was like, is this real, like, I didn't know what it was gonna be. I thought it was gonna be like a comedy, not a docuseries, because they cover like this the store, right? And you know, here we talk about MedMen, and then also High Times, you know, they pulled out of California, the store themselves, right? So there's people who are getting in this business who just have shitty business models, right? And then,
or they made a cool looking brand,
yeah,
and then they got some other bras money, and then they blew it
a lot.
Yeah, but
and there's ways to do this, which I hope, you know, we can help show as we expand on our own personal journey.
I'll tell you where we're not going to end up. So it's the same place MedMen did. We will not end up in a Canadian bank.
Please.
We will not have a petition that we file in a Canadian bankruptcy court in Toronto. And the reason why they had to file this in Canada is because it's still a Schedule 1 substance in America. You can't file for bankruptcy. So our dispensary can't go bankrupt, at least not in America.
Not in America. Yeah. But are there funders? All that shit, is that in Canada too, though?
They're creditors.
Yeah,
your creditors can file a claim there.
Because that's where, I mean, like, if they're gonna file bankruptcy there, that's their protections and all that shit. But again, that's just like more sexy business shit that we can talk about later.
Yes, that's why people tune in.
Yeah,
it's not just about the news. It's also about. Sometimes I have stuff up on the news.
Hey,
there we are.
Amendment narrow scope of California bill to remove marijuana employment protections for law enforcement.
Why not? About time. Hurry up. Do it.
Revised a measure that advanced out of committee on a 3-1 vote to remove certain protections only for sworn law enforcement positions that involve certain specified duties. So you're going to be able to use cannabis, a legal substance, as a legal employee of the California state where it's also legal, unless you have specified duties.
Well, these guys still don't have protections with CBD, right? Like some people can still test hot and then have to prove and are in present litigation or fighting for the jobs back or whatever the case is. And I think this goes back to descheduling or rescheduling, right? When you talk about like an infrastructure where the hemp bill gave us everybody CBD, but or T8 Delta 9 and all the other shit that's happened. Like that young couple that got harassed in Virginia, I think it was, smoking hemp, right? There's still this gray area that
people can't smoke hemp. When hemp's on fire, it's marijuana. That's how it works. You know?
Yeah.
But then why were they able to sell it? And then why was it a pre-roll? And so it's like you are selling something that if you use as it's intended means, it's illegal. But then I'm looking at an ad for straight gas, pure organic THCA products right now. And anyway, the bill in California will remove non-discrimination protections only for 5 categories of sworn law enforcement employees, those involved in the apprehension, incarceration, or correction of criminal offenders, those who handle civil enforcement matters, workers involved in gathering evidence and processing, and those providing coroner functions. So if you are involved in any of those aspects of law enforcement, you cannot use weed, because when you are gathering evidence and processing that evidence, you cannot use weed. If you are trying to determine the cause of someone's death, you cannot use weed. If you are going to apprehend, incarcerate, or correct criminal offenders, so like anybody who's going to arrest, who has the authority to arrest somebody, they're like,
oh, please,
right? Yeah, right.
Well, who do they? Or didn't you say a coroner one too in there?
A coroner, yeah.
So, like, I mean, what do they envision? Just like, dude, let's just do like a circle shape cut. It'll be fine. I mean, like, how are they picturing people doing their jobs if they let them?
Okay, it's the coroner there with a vodka martini when he's doing his job, you know? And so that's one of the, I don't mind if he's not allowed to do it on duty.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're at work at the corrections center, you shouldn't be smoking a joint.
You shouldn't.
You're a prison guard right now. Why don't you wait until you clock out, you know?
Yeah,
but it's non-discrimination protections only for 5 categories.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, why not just blanket it? That's crazy. But that's it, dude. I think that was the last story.
That's it. We have done it. We have reported on cannabis legalization news. Once again, I'm sure we missed something. And if we did, you leave it in the comments for us. Don't forget, we have what's coming in? There's a new video coming on Tuesday. Check out the new video coming on Tuesday, and then tune in next week. Maybe Miggy and I'll have a license. We'll show it to you. We'll see. Nice.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Or maybe they'll reschedule it or reschedule it. Who fucking knows? Yeah, hey,
don't forget, I shared that with you guys. You can get the email. Maybe you'll get the email next week. And then if you're in one of those states where you can legalize it, call your Republican members that, you know, especially if your constituency is Republican. So, like, if your rep has an R after his or her name, call him and tell him, you know, hey, I voted for you. You need to support these bills.
Yeah. And then vote them out. They don't.
Yeah. Well, that's.